If you haven't done so already, make sure to check out the list of 30 plus free and affordable tools I use to run my business. No asking for your email, no upsells, just pure value to help you and your business. You can get it at passionbreakthrough.com/tools. Hello, everyone. We are back for another episode of Passion Breakthrough Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Diane Shelton here, certified business coach and founder of Passion Breakthrough, helping you get clarity and structure to build your profitable and sustainable online business. And today we have a special guest from Sag Harbor, New York, and it's Vanessa Gurdon, who is the CEO and publisher of East End Taste Magazine, which is a digital sustainable travel and food publication based in Hamptons on Long Island. I'm super excited about this conversation. Her and I have had a lot of conversation on Clubhouse, and it's so fun for her to be here. So welcome, Vanessa, and thank you so much for being here with us. I would love to start the conversation off by having you introduce yourself and telling us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. So my name is Vanessa. I'm, like I said, the CEO and publisher of East End Taste Magazine. We were originally founded in 2016, and we are based right now in Sag Harbor, New York, which is on the eastern end of Long Island, about 90 minutes away from Manhattan. And we are also, in normal times, of course, based part-time in London. So we focus our coverage on, you know, all things culinary, international travel, family focus, with a side of attainable luxury. Our main destinations that we cover are Ireland, the UK, the Middle East. We are also going to begin more coverage in Australia. We cover Florida, California, and of course, New England and the tri-state area here in the United States. And goodness, my entrepreneurial journey began in a way unplanned. I was teaching for 2 years, teaching English as a second language. And then I became pregnant with my daughter, my first child. And I became extremely ill with hypermesis, which is just an extreme form of morning sickness. And I quit my job very suddenly, and I never went back. I did do private tutoring for a little while, but I was also in tandem with that freelance writing. And I was doing a lot of that. But it came to a point where I was just, it was a lot of more pitching, less writing. It wasn't really what I was looking for. And it was just too much to juggle with a young family. So I had always said to myself, well, if you want to, gain more interest if it's writing, have a platform, have a voice, start your own, blog. So that's how East End Taste began. And it eventually evolved into becoming a digital publication in 2018. And it's been a lot of great fun, quite a learning experience. I've learned literally everything from scratch, no formal training per se. My only formal opportunities in writing were through while I was freelance writing and through my internships, particularly at Psychology Today and Viacom or MTV Networks. Literally been built from the ground up, but it started truly with just a love of writing. So all these technicalities of, oh my gosh, social media and SEO writing, and oh my gosh, I said in the beginning, what is that? Because people would ask me questions of, how do you do this? And to be quite honest, I didn't have an answer for them because I didn't even know. I was just doing it. So it's been quite interesting and fun, most importantly.
Yeah, all the tidbits that you share in the conversations that we've had in the past and it goes through, the brand that you've built for you have two brands right now. I know that in terms of just the authenticity that you show up for in those brands and the fact that you've built such a great audience and the partnership, right? You do brand partnership really well. And so I just love the fact that, you built this so organically. So talk about being organic and being authentic, and you've done the very essence of that. So I really love that everything that you are showing up for is really your true self, and it seems like you're really enjoying it. So with that said, what is the most enjoyable thing that you are enjoying for your part of your entrepreneurial journey right now?
My favorite has always been that every day is different. And I knew that I would never be a 9-to-5 person. I knew that, teaching, for instance, it just wasn't for me. And I learned that, after getting a master's degree and getting, going through school and the whole student teaching. But I'm very thankful that I found out early on that that's not what I wanted to do, that I wanted to run my own, you know, business. But what I love is just all the people I've been able to meet all around the world. Originally, we were just focused on the eastern end of Long Island, Hamptons. Then we did a little bit of Connecticut coverage. And then we went down to Florida and it just ballooned from there, so to say. So now we're doing a lot of internationally based coverage. And it's really just a matter of, you know, whenever the right time to travel is, we're there. We're going for it.
I, you know, out of curiosity, in regards to the travel part of the world, it sounds like you were able to grow and expand your business. How did that work out in terms of like the whole 2020 conundrum, and being able to get all of that stuff all lined up for yourself? It sounds like you've been very successful even after all of the COVID and all those things are happening.
Yes, no, I appreciate it. Thank you. So yeah, no, 2018 and 2019 were golden years for us. I mean, absolutely smooth sailing. And 2020 was supposed to be a tremendous year. Unfortunately, the pandemic hit literally while we were commencing the planning for the annual Hamptons Interactive Brunch. Now that's totally separate. That's an event series that I do every summer out here in July in the Hamptons. I'm actually in talks with a few brands and businesses to do something small for this summer, but treading very carefully and very lightly there. I'm not ready to do the large event until 2022. It's just not a go. I have to be completely comfortable and fully passionate about it. And if I'm not, it's just not going to happen. And that's okay. So I'm happy with waiting until 2022. So there's a lot to, you know, to kind of comb through for this season. So with that being said, we naturally had to, I hate the word pivot, but we had to completely. I honestly just took a little bit of time off. I spent a lot of time outdoors. I was raking, gardening, learning new skills there. I literally raked my whole lawn. People were like, what? You know, cause I have an acre and a half, and you know, we're one of those people that wait to, you know, remove the leaves until after the winter. Cause it's actually good to protect your lawn. Yeah. So that's what I did. And I had a great time doing it. And then it picked up a little bit. Thankfully out here where I am in Sag Harbor, they're back to normal. We're fine. The only thing that's different are the capacities at the restaurants, and events, of course, are a no-go for the most part if they're over a certain number. With that being said, now, of course, we thrived on that, though. That was our bread and butter, was everything that, you know, went kind of on pause, unfortunately. So that was rough. But I kind of said maybe that's just an opportunity to take a break. Don't stress it. I will say I've gone through, you know, times where I feel like I'm fighting, you know, a wall where nothing's going to come out of it. But, mm-hmm. you know, you're stuck like, well, why, you know, you're asking all these questions, why? But take a step back. This might be the time. So for instance, what I did in 2020, take the time to maybe focus on yourself, right, and your own brand. So what I did was I actually did my own PR for almost a year, and I was able to secure coverage in top tier publications, and these were people that were in the industry, mind you. They were, you know, owned marketing PR agencies, and they looked at me and said, no way, you can't do it. There's no way. Nobody's interested. Nobody cares. Regional, yes. International, national, no. Wrong. I got in New York Times, New York Post, Daily News, Reader's Digest, Sky News. You know, I got in it. But why did I do that? I'm not going to sound like there's how do you say, like an advertisement that pops up. Oh, yes, you could do your own PR. Yes, you can. It's extremely hard, though. I'm not going to lie. It's very, very challenging. But if you know how to do it and can execute it, it's worth it. Because I will say this, as a freelance journalist, we're constantly looking for sources. I can't tell you right now, I wish businesses out here would come to me and say, Vanessa, you looking for anybody? You know, can I help you with any stories, any quotes, any information? People are really scared to do that. And I tell people, don't be. You can email me anytime. Don't be afraid to follow up. You could crowd my inbox. There's a little search bar in Google and Gmail. I could just simply, if I want to find somebody that I want to reach out to, I just type in their name or type in a subject or even a phrase that they may have emailed to me. It is okay, I assure you, to crowd my inbox. So please, you know, I'm telling businesses, don't be afraid to reach out to me. Even if, for instance, a pitch is, you know, is not good. It's so fascinating to be able to get hundreds of them. And they're from all different small and large agencies alike. And it's I what always works are two simple things. If you clear if in the pitch it is clear that you've taken the time to get to know who I am as a writer and as a business and what I look for, and a word of appreciation. We don't get that a lot. I get pitches that'll say something like, "Can you cover this? Can you fit this in?" No, I cannot. And I don't care what they're pitching me. It's not getting in just from that message alone.
Right. It's lazy on their part and they're putting a lot of work on your plate.
That's it. And what can be really frustrating with a lot of, you know, these PR companies that are reaching out, you know, their client is paying a very, very good sum of money for this service.
Right.
It's not a cheap service. So it's always very frustrating when I say, no, it's not a fit editorial right now. And then they'll spin it, you know, they'll find other different angles. But also what's a little bit frustrating is I'll get one of their clients into a story, but then just because I got that client in, it's an automatic assumption that I will get their other client in without question. And then, you know, that's not nearly always the case at all. So that could be, you know, drawing that line is very, very challenging, especially when, you know, I'm at the helm of the publication. So people always know, go right to Vanessa. So that's that.
I learned something new about your business today because I knew you do publication and brand partnership, but I didn't really fully understand, you know, the whole part of the PR portion of it. So I love learning about this and the PR portion of it. So thank you for sharing all of that stuff, because now I feel like I have to ask you some questions also in regards to like the right way to do PR. So maybe I'm going to make sure that I hit you up on that, and anyone that's listening, you know what? Sounds like Vanessa has a lot of great valuable advice on those ends as well, because you know you're self-taught and you've done so many great stuff because of that, and you've used 2020 as a learning place to teach yourself all of these valuable skills and actually launch your business even further because of all those things that you have been able to provide for yourself. So it sounds like you're even, you know, like from 2018, 2019, and then 2020, in your business right now, how do you find balance, you know, with all the kids that you are, you have in your household? I hear them in the background. It's so fun in your house right now. And your health, your gardening, and hobbies and that kind of stuff. How do you find balance as an entrepreneur?
It's extraordinarily challenging. But what's helped me is two things. I've created office hours. So I say to myself, you're just like everyone, you know, when you're speaking to people at agencies or their, you know, their own offices, you sign off, you're done at, you know, I think I have it at 5 PM Eastern. We're done. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. It's closed. There is no emergency. I assure there is no emergency where someone needs to reach me right then and there. And then second is really putting your family first. So for instance, a very good example is a habit that I got. I'm so happy that I finally broke, because I don't sleep anymore with my phone at my end table. My phone is downstairs in the kitchen charging at night. My husband needs to, just because he's a physician and he'll get calls at night. But so I'll use his phone if I just want to kind of browse and stuff and such. And then I think he has my Instagram. He has a couple of my apps on his. So of course I'm cheating a little bit, but
that's what it's going through my head, but that's okay.
Exactly. So I'm cheating a little bit. That's all right. But I don't have my email or anything. Don't have my WhatsApp, except of course. But I have that because there is no reason that the first thing I should do in the morning is get up and look at my phone. And the last thing I should do is look at my phone. There is no rush and no reason to be doing that. So that's my, you know, my two biggest things. Putting your family first. I mean, sometimes you're like my son or my daughter, all they want to do is a puzzle with me. The puzzle's only going to take 20 minutes. Just do the puzzle. Make breakfast with them. It's as long as you do things with them first, they're all set. So for a very good example right now, why they're so happy downstairs is Seth, I, we've played our games. We did our word matching. I helped my daughter with her spelling words. She did her, her dancing outside, and now we're they're settled in for TV for just a little bit.
Fun. Yeah, that is, really is the key, right? It's like knowing your priorities. And like we went into our entrepreneurial journey because we want to provide for ourselves, for our family. And I love the fact that you are focusing on that first too. So I love that advice in regards to like keeping your phone away as much as possible. And it's okay. You know, like you're throwing a lot of amazing things. We're talking about PR. We're talking about like your first part of your business. And now you're talking about like your family life in regards to your balance. If we can, like we were talking a little bit about your when you first started, but if you can go back in time, now that you know all of these things as an entrepreneur now, what kind of advice would you give yourself as someone that's just starting out as an entrepreneur?
I would say before jumping in, speak to even more people in the industry. Try to ask those hard questions. So for instance, I really emphasize that I started East End Taste only for and simply for a love of writing. So a lot of the times I was just so caught up in what I loved, I never realized that there was a value per se to what I was doing. It took a year for me to figure that out. Now, it's not like I need the money. My husband has a good job. I'm very grateful for that. So in a way, it was a hobby in the beginning. But when then people were in the industry were coming up to me saying, Vanessa, you know, you could be doing X, Y, and Z. Naturally, it's a lot easier said than done. I love when people love, you know, to throw out, oh, you know, you could be making six figures and or what's the one I keep throwing around, like $20,000 in 1 month for this right. simple rule. That's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. If it were that easy, there would be a line out the door to mm-hmm. get that $20,000. It's not true. And it's unfortunately the biggest lie that's still being told out there to young or any age, really, anyone that's really that's looking to get, you know, to make a presence. It is, I assure you, it is not easy. But in the end, sometimes, some days you'll be working, you'll be making nothing. Some days you'll be working, you'll be making a lot. It, unfortunately, with running a business, it fluctuates dramatically. And right. that's something I've learned, mm-hmm. be perhaps flexible in the beginning, but also know your value. That also took me a long time for me to realize when it didn't dawn on me until I had to hire someone to help me with a project. And then they provided a proposal. And I looked at the figure and I'm going, what? They cost that? And I'm thinking, you're joking. And then I became almost a little bit frustrated. Like, I should be charging. So apparently I should be charging triple that. And I was stunned. But then I realized the more people I spoke with, it was almost shocking in a way. Like, oh my goodness gracious. And they're like, oh, so you have the years behind you. You have the experience. You have the, it's like, yes. Yes. So that perhaps was a limitation perhaps of not having that, you know, 9-to-5 experience or that corporate experience, mm-hmm. And not realizing, you know, what your value is until you're actually put to work or actually put in a situation where you find out.
Yeah, it's so critical to know your value and to actually be comfortable with that. And I like what you were saying, you know, like I always enjoy talking with you because you are not afraid to talk about the hard truth. Like, you know,
that's
like, it's just one of those things that people always say, like, make 20K months. And it's just like, you have to put the mindset, the mind work, and also the hard work. And it's all hard work, right? If you want the 20K, no one's going to just, you know, like, line up at the door and hand it to you. You got to work for it and show
you
up.
You have to work. And that's it. You have to go the extra step. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, when you, people hear, oh, you could do, you know, this, that, and the other thing. No, that's nonsense. You need to show up. Really, a lot of what life is simply just showing up. And right. you'd be surprised of the amount of people that don't show up. And you're like, what are you doing? You know, so that's it. And the one thing, though, that what's interesting is a lot of young people say, Vanessa, they get frustrated, like, why aren't I doing this? Why aren't I getting these opportunities? Why don't people see what I'm doing? And they'll have like their, you know, their social media business, or they're active on Twitter, or they'll have a blog or whatever it may be, and I'll say, are you reaching out to them? People aren't going to come to you. You have to go to them, and you have to go to them again and again and again. And that's how it is.
Yeah, until they say yes or no.
And exactly.
You know, it's just having you do your own PR. You're just a living proof that it's possible for everyone.
That's it. A lot of people come to me for just off cuff, you know, PR advice. Like, Vanessa, how do I get in the press? How do I get in the media? And also, you know, sometimes it's not about pitching your brand, but about pitching you as a person. And people are like, well, I have nothing really to bring to the table. I'll say, well, tell me about yourself in 5 sentences or, you know, a few couple hundred words quickly. And they tell me, I'll say, well, like someone told me, a personal experience that they had. And I said, well, gee, that's newsworthy to me. That's interesting. If you're comfortable sharing that mental, you know, somebody shared me something about mental health recently and something that they experienced. I said, well, my goodness, I wrote for Psychology Today. I interned for them many years ago. That seems like a great story to me to pitch to them. And then within that story, you could organically weave in your business. That's press. If that's what you're comfortable doing. Some people are not comfortable speaking about certain topics, but if you are, that's the key. So I think one of the things is why I get a lot of press. I'm comfortable. I'm an open book. You could ask me anything practically. I'm very, very comfortable in my own skin. I could talk on any topic, but people have applauded me for that, for coming, you know, and speaking very openly about mental health awareness, about family life. I've spoken very openly with, you know, Parents Magazine about me suffering from postpartum depression, for example. I was a little nervous at first, but it was received very well.
Thanks. Yeah, that's the way it should be, right? Is that this whole authenticity, quote unquote, and yet there's only certain topics that you're allowed to speak on. But I love the fact that you are being your true self and being an open book, because I think the world needs more of that. So
that's
right. I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think that will also help, you know, with healing. There was a big discussion I was having the other day with some people in the entertainment industry about body image. And I said, well, the first thing is, if we just all come clean, you know, come clean, be really honest and raw with each other about our struggles. And I think that right there will make the world a much better place than trying to be something that you're not, or trying to put these filters. It's okay. I mean, if you want to photoshop, you want to look good, you know, if it's a brand campaign, sure, that's a total different story. But more and more celebrities, instead of, you know, let's all come, you know, let's be raw, let's come clean. And the more that do that, I think the world will be a much better place. And it's also a very good healing experience, most importantly.
Yeah. And it starts with each and every one of us. And so that's why it's just, I love the fact that you are doing that, and you're being that kind of light and the guide for other people, to let them know it's okay. It's okay to just be yourself, and it's okay to share your stories, because other people out there are needing to hear your stories, and then they might be comfortable then to start peeking their head in and then start showing up and being their true selves. So thank you so much for sharing all of these great stuff.
Pleasure.
I want to end the conversation by having you, you know, share any type of offer you might have for the audience today, or tell us where we can connect with you. I know you're on Instagram, so I'd love for the audience to be able to find you.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. So, anyone's welcome to DM me anytime. The best way to reach me is by email. And you can go to my website, eastendtastemagazine.com, and you'll see all the contact information there. And on Instagram, I'm at eastendtaste, EAST, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, D as in David, Taste, and Hamptons Interactive Brunch. So two separate Instagram accounts there, and eastendtaste on most major social media channels, but the only one we don't have yet is TikTok.
Well, soon to be TikTok though. But yeah, I know on Instagram both accounts are connected, so make sure to follow Vanessa on those, because she is posting some really cool stuff, and every time you post something, it's just like I live vicariously about the travel stuff. So thank you so much for sharing all of those things, and I'll make sure to include your links in the interview notes as well. And thank you to everyone who's tuning in. Make sure to join our free group at passionbreakthrough.com/community so you can join these conversations live and get the support you need to thrive in your business as well. So join us next time for another inspirational Passion Breakthrough interview series. So talk to you soon.